Come on, let's welcome our live audience. All right, with your Bibles in your hands, would you grab your Bibles and repeat after me? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I will have what it says I will have. I'm a part of Deliverance Temple, where we love by living our vision every day. We connect with our Creator continually. We confess our deliverance consistently. We commit to serve creatively. We communicate Christ's love compassionately. Pastor Andre, teach me this word. Come on, put your hands together this morning. Amen. We're going to recap from last week. It's just so happened that our last week audio kind of faulted out on us, so it's not on the app and it's not on YouTube. There's no other, unless you were here and caught it on Facebook Live, there's no other way to see it. So let me just recap for those who weren't here. We are in a series called Mantles. Somebody say mantles. And we gave you two definitions. The first definition we gave for mantle was, number one, a loose sleeveless cloak or shawl. And we talked about how it's actually something that is physically worn. And then number two was an important role or responsibility that passes from one person to another. And so what we talked about last week was put on the mantle of love. And we parked there for a moment. And I didn't think I was going to go there, but after looking at what transpired with the election as far as it relates to the church, it's amazing that Christians are so opposite. Some Christians believe that the election was stolen. Other Christians believe we're so glad Biden is in there and the other joker is out. But there's been a lot of bickering back and forth, and I understand the world doing that, but the church is doing that. So the Lord told me to preach on putting on that mantle of love. And then we went to point B under the mantle of love, and point B was the responsibility that comes with the mantle of love. We walked through responsibility, and then C was, what else do we put on with the mantle of love? We worked through all those things, and we were looking at Romans chapter 13, and we went to a few other things, but these 3 points is where we close, and I think it's important to recap. Number one, we were to put on awareness, meaning that we have to wake up and be aware with our surroundings. We can't just be like the world. How can we have the vision for the world if we do everything the world is doing? So we had to have awareness. And then number two, we need to put on the armor of the Lord, which is also known as the armor of light. Put on the armor of light, and we went through the armor of the Lord. And then number three, we need to put on Christ. So having gone through those things, that's going to lead me to today's sermon, and it's not very creative. It's just mantles part two. So somebody say mantles again. And what we're going to do, we're going to work from this story, from this framework, Elijah and Elisha. Now, when I first thought of the idea, or God first gave me and spoke to me mantles, this is where I thought that I would start, but God took me to the mantle of love. But now that we've gone through that, I thought I was going to go somewhere else. And God says, no, we're going to work on Elijah and Elisha today. And so going back, if you remember the definition, one was a physical thing that you put on, and number two was a responsibility. And when we think of it as in the framework of Elijah and Elisha, Elijah had a physical mantle that he wore, but with that mantle came a responsibility, or another way we can say it, an anointing. Somebody say anointing. And so when you think of mantle, number one, it is something physical, but the spiritual implication is mantle is something that you wear. We first told you that you wear the mantle of love. But secondly, it's an anointing or a responsibility, specifically passed down from one leader to the next. Now, if you know anything about the kingdom of God in today's age, if you paid attention Many of today's generals are dying and they're leaving. They're going off of the scene. Every new week, there's another bishop that has passed away, another famous preacher that has passed away. They may not be as famous as Billy Graham and T.D. Jakes, but if you know anything about the Church of God in Christ and the apostolic, specifically in the Black church, a lot of people are dying. And those people who die, they have an anointing. But how many know you don't need an anointing for heaven? When you get to heaven, you don't need to be anointed. You don't need to cast out demons. There's no demons in heaven. So when an older person who has an anointing on their life, when they cross from this life to the next, they don't take their anointing with them because they don't need their anointing where they go. So that means that their anointing or their mantle is for the earth. It's not for heaven. So when someone that is a leader that is ahead of you, before you, an ancestor, a grandma, a grandfather, a great uncle, when they pass, they leave something on the earth that's tangible that you can actually pick up. And it's very important. So we're going to work from that framework, from that understanding. People are shifting off of the earth, but the anointings are still here. Now, I'll give you an example. In this day and age, before my father has passed and transitioned from this life to the next, I've already been able to wear his anointing. I have a portion of his anointing. However, when he does transition, the anointing that I carry from him, it will increase because no longer does he need it. He's going to another place. Now, we're not trying to run him out. We want him here as long as God wants him here. Long as he wants to be here, you don't want to run anybody out just because you're in somebody's will. Don't pray for them to die because you're in their will. No, wait your turn. But when the time comes, there is something that you can pick up. Elisha. Let's look at 2 Kings 2 and 1. And after I read each verse, I'm going to give us a point that comes from it. Let me kind of do it like I would do it in a Bible study. I'm just going to read a verse and grab something out of that verse and give you a point, and we'll keep moving that way. So 2 Kings 2 and 1 says this. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, says he was about to take him up, which means he had a day where he was going to cross from one life to the next. And something we need to understand, we may not know the day when people are going to cross, but God knows the day. All right, it says Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Here's the first point I want to bring up. It shows me both relationship and direction. They were heading in the same direction, but they were together and they had relationship. Number one, when you are trying to grab a mantle from someone, an anointing from someone, you got to be going in the direction that they're going, and you have to have some type of relationship and connection with them. You need both relationship and direction. Now, when I say relationship, it's not always that you have a personal relationship. You can get relationship from somebody by reading their book. Sometimes the best way is to study somebody from afar. You can watch all their videos on YouTube, but you develop relationship where you understand where the person is, who the person is, and the direction that they are going. The problem is too many people try to attach to you who aren't going where you're going. So even though we have relationship, if you don't go in the direction I'm going, don't expect to get what I got. Don't expect to have what I have. Don't expect to carry what I carry if you don't have relationship and direction. All right, let's go to 2 Kings 2 and 2. Somebody say, work this thing, Pastor. 2 Kings 2 and 2. And Elijah said to Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. Now, give you a quick Hebrew lesson. Whenever you see the word or the first words Beth in a word, it means house of. And so Bethlehem means house of, and Ham means bread. House of Ham. Bethel, El means God. So Bethel means the house of God. So Elijah said, I'm getting ready to go to the house of God. And what I want you to do, Elisha, I want you to stay here. Let's go back to the verse and let's read it in its entirety. And Elijah said to Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. He said, I'm with you and I don't plan on leaving you. He actually went against the idea and the counsel of Elijah. But Elisha said, I want to stay with you as long as I can. I don't know if you've ever watched somebody die or watched someone transition. Oftentimes, they try to tell you, you don't got to come visit me in the hospital. You don't have to come to the nursing home. Go do what you want to do. But there's something inside you that says, I don't know how many more moments I'm going to get with them. So I'm going to stay close as I can to them, because what I'm doing is really not that important. What's more important is this life, this person that I'm connected to. When you have a real relationship with somebody, they can't get rid of you if they try. It reminds me of Ruth. Ruth and Naomi. Naomi told Ruth, look, stay here. God hasn't done well with me. He's done me bitterly. You don't want to be connected with me. Stay here. I'm going to go back to my hometown. And Ruth said, no, where you go, I go. Where you end up, how end up? Then she said, your God gonna be my God. When you found somebody that has a mantle on their life, when you found somebody that got an anointing, when you found somebody that knows how to work through life. See, one thing I love about older people, especially older black people, they've been through something. They've walked through stuff. They know what it's like to grow up in Jim Crow and have somebody tell them, you can't drink in this town and you can't eat here and you can't eat there. You go crazy if you can't buy the Jordans you want to buy. No, give me somebody that's been through life and come out on the other side. Where you go, I'm going to go. Don't tell me to leave. I'm stuck with you. And guess what? You stuck with me. Some of y'all in this room, I got to let you know, you stuck with me. I ain't letting you go. I'm not going to stop praying for you. I'm not going to stop preaching. And guess what? For me, sometimes y'all are not only am I stuck with you and you stuck with me, but we're stuck with each other. You really, really, really got to mess up, Pastor, for me to leave this church. I'm here. I'm here. I'm going to pray you through. I'm going to call you up and I'm going to call your name out, because we in this thing together. Why? Because you've got something on your life that I need. It's amazing when you find somebody that has what you need. Now, I got to turn just a quick corner. Don't want to stay on there real long because I don't know who it's for. It might be for somebody out in television land. But let me tell you something, young man, when you find a woman that got it all together, don't waste so much time. Grab a ring and put a ring on a finger. When you find the right one, stop wasting your time. Go ahead and snatch her up. Take her off the market. Let her be your woman. Because you're not going to find everybody. You're not going to find that in everybody. As some men, they still chasing that first girl they let go. All their other dates is trying to catch the one they let go. Don't be like that. When you find somebody, grab them up. All right, look at somebody and say, grab them up, grab them up. All right, that's going to bring me to number two. Number two is determination and dedication. When you're determined and you're dedicated like Elisha is, you won't be moved by just things. You won't let anything push you away or run you away. No, I'm in it to win it. I want it, and I want it bad. I remember when I was playing basketball in high school, they had cheerleaders, and the cheerleaders would sing a song and said, we want it, and we want it bad. We're in it, and we're in it to win it, and we want it, and we want it bad. And they would ask the crowd to say, how much do you want it? And the crowd would say, we want it bad. Now, guess what? We still lost, but at least the crowd was with us. Oh, I need some folk that say, I'm in it to win it, and I want it. Well, how bad do you want it? I want it bad. I'm determined, and I'm dedicated. But yeah, you're coming out of addiction. I know, but I want it, and I want it bad. I might slip back every now and then, but I'm too determined to die addicted. I'm too determined to die broke. I'm too dedicated to die divorced. I want it, and I want it bad. Let's look at verse 3. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." I like that. I'm gonna read just that last part again. And he said, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Let me put up point number 3, priorities and focus. I didn't got time to listen to a bunch of stuff, and everybody always got a bunch of things to tell you about your life. Now, I don't mean that we don't listen to wise counsel, but if you're not doing better than me, why you got so much to say about what I'm doing? Why are you going back to school at 45? Well, you 65 and you don't have no degree, so why are you trying to talk about what I'm doing? Why are you starting a business in Muncie? Don't nobody do anything in Muncie. Well, listen, you haven't done anything with your life, so keep quiet. I got priorities and I got focus. And I'm not going to let just any jackleg person get me off of my priority and get me off of my focus. Can you go out to lunch with me? Yeah, I can go out to lunch with you. But when I go out to lunch with you, all you do is talk negativity. Next time you ask me for lunch, no. I don't have time. I can't pencil you in my schedule. You're too negative for what I'm trying to do. You're too messy for where I'm trying to go. I got priority and I got focus. I love you, but hush. I love you, but keep quiet. I love you, but how about you mind your own business? If I was you, I wouldn't put up with my husband acting like that. Baby, you ain't have a husband. So why you got so much to say about me and mine? Keep quiet. All right, let's read a little more. Verse 4, 2 Kings 2 and 4. Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." They just kept on moving. And Elisha's like, "Listen, I'm not going anywhere." So let's go to verse 5. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him. Now, here's the thing. The extra prophets, sons of the prophets, they just kept on following, kept tagging along. "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" Wait a second. Didn't y'all just tell me that? Didn't we just discuss that? But it's funny how people will bring up the same old stuff over and over and over. And this is what he told him again. And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." And we had this discussion before. I know what it costs. Let me give you an example. When I came home and really got into the ministry, I actually left college. And as I decided to do that, it was not a popular decision. It was an unpopular decision. But as I had gone so long in it, I had people who would always come back to me and tell me, "You know, it really didn't make sense for you to leave school." I'm like, "You're too late. You should have called me a long time ago. You're too late, and I don't really need you talking to me right now. I need you to just be quiet and leave me alone and let me do this thing that I'm trying to do. I'm working on something. I just need you to let me go ahead and do it." All right, let's go to the next verse. Verse 6. Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord," wait a second, "has sent me to Jordan." First of all, Elijah said, "I'm going to Bethel. I'm going from Bethel to Jericho. Now I'm going to Jordan." Each time he turns and tells Elisha, "Listen, just I need you to stay because you don't want to go where I'm trying to go." Now, I've got to say this. When you have somebody who carries an anointing, it costs. And they don't ever really want anybody running into it who don't know what they're signing up for. I don't want you to think you're signing up for suits and bow ties and a big church is purple that got TVs and stuff like that. No, baby, no, this cost. And so when Elijah was telling Elisha, I know you're trying to stay with me and follow me, but stay where you're at, because this is not for the weak mind. This living for God in this day and age is not for the wimps. This is going to cost you something. Getting married in this day and age is going to cost you something. Building a business in this day and age is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you. But if you want it, if you're determined, if you're dedicated, it doesn't make a difference. All right, let's finish verse 6. Put verse 6 back up for me. As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. They went on. So number 4, let's put up number 4. Unwavering and mentally tough. I mean, even the man who has the anointing is telling him, stay. Don't come any further. But Elisha was unwavering, and I like this word, mentally tough. In this day and age, you have to be mentally tough, because the battle that rages on the inside of your mind. It's right in here. It's good to hear somebody preach to you, but when you leave out of here, this is where the battle is, and it's in your head. And if you're not mentally tough, you're fold. Now, this is what they know about in sports. In the sports world, they say that champions are mentally tough. Now, I almost hate to bring this up, because every time I do, Bishop and Apostle always act up. But LeBron James is mentally tough. He's been talked about from the moment he got in the league. Okay, calm down. No, just playing. But he's been talked about, but he's mentally tough. See, here's the thing. When you lock in on something and you have what I call bulldog tenacity, what a bulldog does, they lock their jaws on something. When your mind locks in on something, when you lock in that you're going to be successful, I don't care what storm comes your way, what devil comes your way, what loss you got to go through, who you pushes you over, you are locked on, I'm going to make it come hell or high water. I'm unwavering and I'm mentally tough. I can go through it. Now, being mentally tough, you don't get mentally tough overnight. You go through stuff, but you have to make up in your mind. And sometimes you have to tell your mind and talk to your mind. People say you're crazy if you talk to yourself. I say you're crazy if you don't talk to yourself. Sometimes you got to talk to your mind and tell your mind, stop tripping out. Stop flipping out. No, you're not going to do this. No, you're not going to think this. No, you're not going to be depressed all day long. No, you're not going to be anxious all day long. I don't care if I got to take a pill. I don't care if I got to get oil poured over my head. But this mind, you're going to bounce back. You're going to be tough. I need some tenacity out of you, because we got work to do. Guess what? Sometimes the person you need to tell to keep quiet is you. Your mind. We ain't gonna never make it out of this. Shut up. Shut up. I ain't got time to be thinking about that. No, no, no. It's not gonna be like that. I'm gonna be what God called me to be. I'm gonna make it some way, somehow. Now, I know I'm not the only one, but in this COVID season, every time you cough, your mind and the devil told you you got COVID. Every cough, every sniffle, you had to tell your mind, no, I ain't got nothing. I'm going to work. I'm going to be okay. We're going to pull through this. Got to be unwavering, and you need to be mentally tough. Let's look at verse 7, 2 Kings 2 and 7. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Now, these other people were following, but they weren't following as close, which seems to suggest they were following out of nosiness and not out of dedication. Some people get on the bandwagon just because they nosy. They just want to see what you're doing, but they ain't planning on doing nothing. They want to stand at a distance. They want to look, but you going all the way. See, some folk just come to church, but after they leave church, they don't read the Bible. They don't pray. They don't praise God because they just looking at a distance. But you, once you leave, you talking to God. You on the parking lot talking to God. You trying to get a hold of God because you know I can't make it without him. I can't live another day without him. I don't care what the other Christians are doing. As for me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. All right, so let's put this up. Number five, you got to be different from the crowd. You can't fit in with the crowd and do everything the crowd is doing. You should be able to be pointed out of the crowd. Teresa, when I see you in the crowd, I still ought to know that's Teresa because you move so different and you function so different that even though the crowd is around you, you don't function like the crowd. You don't act like everybody else acts because you're cut above. Not that you feel like you're better than, but you're striving for more than what everybody else is striving for. Here's the thing. Average is average for a reason. Because average doesn't reach to the higher heights. Average takes what's right in front. But when you want to be more than average, when you want to excel, you cannot be like what the crowd is doing. You got to reach higher and do more. You got to stretch yourself. Sometimes the crowd is doing stuff that doesn't make sense for you. It may make sense for them, but it doesn't make sense for you. If you're working on a business plan, and right now you're on Section 8, and now you're putting all your money back to build up for your business plan, when the crowd stands in line for Jordans, you can look at the Jordans, but you can't go in the line with them because you're working on something. You can't afford to do what they're doing. Now, don't dog anybody else for what they're doing, but you can't afford to move like them because you're trying to reach higher than them. Right now, everybody's working, trying to grab the PlayStation 5. And I've had the PlayStation 2. The PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation 4. And guess what? I want the PlayStation 5, but right now it's not my major focus. So I don't have time to stress out like they stressing out because I got to be different from the crowd. Now, if Devin wants to buy the PlayStation 5 for me, that's a different, that's a different story. Let's move on. 2 Kings 2 and 8. Then Elijah took his cloak, or he took his cloak, and you'll see it in another, he took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water, and the water was parted to the one side and to the other till the two of them could go over on dry ground. And here's something very interesting to understand. All those other places they went through, those other from Bethel to Jericho, now down to Jordan, there was no obstacle there. By the time they got to Jordan, there was an obstacle called the Jordan River. And so it seems like, here's the thing, Elisha doesn't know how they're going to cross the Jordan River. He has no clue, but he's still following. Another example I can tell you is the scripture says of Mary who came to the tomb of Jesus, her and it was another lady. And I can't remember if the Bible actually says who, but says that they were going toward the tomb and they asked each other this question, who's going to roll away the stone? They didn't know, but they kept walking. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm going to keep moving in that direction. I'm not going to be like the 50 prophets where I'm standing back. Ooh, I wonder if it's going to be all right. I wonder if the economy is going to be fixed before I do anything. No. I'm going by faith. And faith means I can't see it all. But I'm going to keep stepping and I'm going to keep walking. Well, what's going to happen? How it's going to work out? I don't know how it's going to work out. But I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to keep moving. I'm going to keep going toward the goal. Another example, I had a family member. I can't remember if it was on my side or Devin's side, but it was while we were engaged and we were getting ready to be married, and I didn't have a house yet for us to live in. And they asked me, said, where y'all going to live? I said, I don't know. That don't make no sense. You don't know. But what they didn't know, that I had seen a house, actually me and Devin had seen a house, and me and her had by
faith declared that that house was going to be ours. Now, no paperwork, nothing had happened. We hadn't got a hold of the renter, but by faith, we was laying hold on it. But just because I couldn't show the people it, they thought I didn't know what I was doing. But here's the thing. I didn't have several houses since then because I know how to move by faith and not listen to people in my ear. How you going, when you going, what you going. Don't worry about it. Keep quiet. I'm working on my faith.
Now, I don't suggest you do this, but I actually got out on the grounds because I looked and wasn't nobody there. I got on the grounds and walked around the house and claimed the house for myself. I don't suggest you do that because I'm black and they could have came around and done something to me, but my faith said, take a chance. And just walk around, and I declared it as mine. And here's the funny thing. While I was in the house, it was a rented house, but while I was in the rented house, God gave me a dream to be in a house of my own, to come out of renting and move and transition into a home of my own. And it was funny that the people that I'm renting from, I end up in their neighborhood. And it was so funny when I took them my last check for rent, they were like, I'm so sorry to see you go because you've been such a good renter because I always was on time or before time. And so I took them my last check and they said, where are you moving to? I said, two streets over from this house where we are right now. I was in the renter's house and her face turned, frowned. See, as long as I was renting from her, it was okay. But when I moved into her neighborhood, now she have an attitude. And I was glad God exposed it. That was the last money I ever gave them because some people only love you as long as you on their level or below. But faith will make you transition somebody's level. Faith will expose haters that you didn't even know was haters. And they didn't know they was haters until God put something in your life that they can't handle. Look at your neighbor and say, it's by faith, it's by faith. Now this is COVID, so don't touch your neighbor, just look at him. All right, let's go to verse 9. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you. First of all, as they were progressing, Elijah kept saying, just stay, stay, stay. But finally, after Elisha had crossed everything with him, even crossing the Jordan River, crossing every obstacle, finally Elijah said, what do you want? And Elisha said, please, let there be a double portion of your spirit on me. I don't just want your mantle, I want extra. I want more than enough. It's one thing to ask for just enough, but I've been through too much hell to take just enough. I've come through all these places. I've come through this last obstacle, and you want to know what I want? I want everything you got and then some. I want double portion. I want extra. I want more than enough. I want surplus. I'm tired of being on the bottom of the barrel. God, give me everything you've got. So here's point number 6. You have to be positioned to ask a request like that. See, he went through everything he needed to position himself to have that kind of request. I love y'all saints, but sometimes your requests are above your position. God, I want you to cause me to raise the dead. You ain't cracked your dead Bible open in 7 years. You're not positioned for that request, baby. You need to position yourself. And then when the time comes, you can declare, God, do it this way. God, do it that way. God, make it work this way. Because I position myself to be right where I need to be. So position to request, and here's point number 7. They're going to come off the same scripture. Boldness to request. Once you have been positioned, you got to have the boldness to ask for just what you want. Now this is kind of interesting. When you're looking at Elisha following Elijah as closely as he did, he could have sounded, how can I say, he could have sounded disrespectful. That's a way to say it. He could have sounded disrespectful because here's Elijah getting ready to die. getting ready to cross from one life to the next. And Elisha's saying, I want what you got, but I want it better than what you had. I want what you're wearing, but I want it double than what you're wearing. But here's the thing. When you have a real mentor wants you to do more than they could do. A real mentor is not jealous of a request that asks you to go farther than they went, because I know that if you do it with the anointing that I carry, that means I did it when you did it. Let me say it like this. The bishop, if every now and then I'll sneak up and bump into somebody that'll tell me, your daddy was talking to me about you. I'm like, what'd he say? And I'm talking about, my daddy can brag on me like can't nobody brag on me. Sometimes he'll say it to me, but I've heard how he says it to other folk, and it gets back to me, because what he knows is when I do it, he did it, because we're in it together. See, he doesn't have to do it himself, and because he's getting older, some stuff he don't want to do. But when I do it, he did it, because we are in it together. And guess what? Some of y'all don't know how I'm bragging on y'all, because when you did it, I did it. And when I did it, he did it. And when he did it, we did it. But you have to be positioned, and you got to be bold enough to ask the request. Don't think that I'm the end all be all just because I'm feeding and teaching you. You ought to talk to God and say, give me what Andre got, but give me some more of that. Give me more boldness. I want to be more anointed. Now it's going to cost, but it's okay. If you've been through enough hell, be bold enough and make the request. I said a long time ago, if I'm going to be fought like I'm a king, I might as well act like I'm a king. If you're going to be fought like you a queen, you might as well act like you a queen. You might as well. Shoot, the devil been on you all your life from the time you've grown up. And then you hear stories about how you fall. They tell a story about me, how I tipped over into a crate full of milk bottles. Should have busted my head. The devil been trying to kill me a long time ago. He must know something about me I don't know. I'm not going to be silly right now, and I'm not going to be backing up right now. This is the time to be bolder than what I've ever been before. Guess what? COVID is bold, so I need to be bold. We over here talking about 2020. This is our decade, and COVID ran up and changed everything. Well, guess what? I'm going to do the same thing. I'm getting back everything the devil took from me, everything the devil stole from me. I'm getting it back. Now, me and my wife were supposed to be in Paris just a week before they shut everything down. We were supposed to be there for like 3 days at least. It was going to be a quick trip. But guess what? We're going to go. It ain't going to be for 3 days. We might as well go for 9 days, 17 days. What you may have took it from me this time, but guess what? We're going to do it up big. We had a wedding and vow renewal plan. All that got shut down. But guess what? I'm still walking down the aisle with that woman. We're going to do it some way, somehow, because devil, you can't stop a thing. I'm too bold. I'm too bold. I'm too bold. Bold and beautiful. Bold and beautiful. Bold and blessed. Bold and bald. Bold and everything. I'm too bold to let the devil buffalo me. Somebody say it. I'm too bold to let the devil buffalo me. All right, let's look at verse 10. And he said, you have asked a hard thing. He let them know, this is a hard thing you ask. In other words, this is a bold thing. This is not a scary thing. This is a big thing. I was just listening to a person that I just got connected with, doing some business with, and he was telling his story how he created something that he wanted to take him where he needed to be. So he's from Kokomo, Indiana, and he moved to Orlando with him and his wife, and they were going on some business stuff, and it wasn't working. He created this thing to help people. He was charging folk $297 to get into the program. Wasn't working. He was broke. Him and his wife were struggling. And then he asked his wife, he said, I think we need to move to downtown Orlando. She's like, it ain't working on the outskirts of Orlando. What makes you think it's going to work downtown? He's like, let's just try it. And he got into this program, and the person who was coaching him said, your problem is you asking too low for what you're asking for. He said, you need to be asking for a high ticket.
He's like, they ain't buying it at $297. What makes me think that they gonna buy it if I go higher? And he said, the person who coached him said, it's your mindset. He said, the folk have the money, but your product is greater. You devalued your product. So he told him to start charging $3,000 to $5,000. He was only gonna charge $297. But guess what? He said, I ain't got nothing to lose. I'm already broke. We already done moved. We got bills everywhere. So we gonna try it. And guess what? In 3 months, he started making $20,000 a month. A month. A month. And all because he got bold enough to charge what he was really worth. See, sometimes God doesn't bless it because you've devalued who you are. But when you get bold enough to say, pay me what I'm worth, watch how doors begin to open. Watch how things begin to happen. Yes, you got to work. Yes, you got to push. But I beg you, be bold in your request and go for broke. Even though it's a hard thing, go for it all. Let's look at 2 Kings 2 and 10. You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I'm being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so. Elijah said, you've asked a tough thing. But here's the thing I can say to you. If you can see me when I go, you'll get what you asked for. If you don't see me, sorry for your luck. Let's look at point number eight. Point number eight, you got to have the vision to receive. Not only do you need to be bold enough to request, but the instruction was, if you can see me. In other words, you got to see into the realm of the spirit. Yes, we walk by faith and not by sight, but our faith is actually goggles. They're actually eyes where we see into another realm. If you can see it, you can be it. Even when they wrote the song, I Believe I Can Fly, they was able to say that if you can see it, you can be it. If you have the vision to see yourself doing it, you can do it. If you don't even see yourself doing it, baby, don't even get your hopes worked up. If everybody can see it, but you, don't get your hopes up. You got to see it for yourself. Here's the problem. I can see everybody in this room but me. I can see everybody but me. So guess what? The person to know how gifted and how awesome I am, the last person to know oftentimes is me. Because I can see everybody's gift. Oh, man, he's so talented. Oh, he's so handsome. She's so smart. I'm just old Andre. See, because my vision has tricked me because I see other folk, I assume I can't do it. But we got to learn how to turn that vision inward. I see me as God sees me. I see me as God says I am. And if you are around folk, people will give you clues about who you are. They'll tell you stuff. They'll compliment you. And then you, oftentimes, we keep devaluing ourselves and say, oh, well, it's not, you know, I love your smile. Oh, when you tell somebody you love their smile, they start covering their mouth and they get embarrassed. I just told you I loved your smile, but something about that makes you embarrassed because when you look in the mirror, you don't see what I see. And so it's so easy to devalue you. But if you want to receive in this day and age, you got to have enough vision to understand I can be everything that God says I can. I want some of y'all to start doing this. I want you to start journaling every compliment you get. The things that keep coming consistently. You know what? It's something sweet about you. Come on, write that down. And when you start going through trouble, go back to what you wrote down and start declaring what other folk have said about you. I'm sweet. I'm not talking about evil folk. Evil folk will say all kinds of stuff about you. I'm talking about people who are really speaking into your life and people who really care about you. And that's why it's important to build people up around you that you love. Give them their flowers while they're living. Tell somebody how special they are. And I don't have time to do it right now, but some of y'all is good looking. Y'all some handsome and pretty folk. Y'all some smart folk. Let me tell you, like, to help you is kind, you is smart, and you is important. You some important folk. You some special folk. And let me tell you something, if you're wearing melanin black skin, you somebody special, because what our people have been through, we should have died a long time ago. But the fact that we're still here, you somebody important. Oh, I got a little bit of time. Will, you're important. Krista, you're important. Tommy, you're important. Kiana, you're important. Francis, you're important. I'm talking to the folk in the back, because sometimes the folk in the back, sometimes they don't feel like they're important enough to come up front. So let me jump on the folk in the back. I don't know all your names, but you are important. You are special. If you're still breathing, you are somebody in God. Do you know how many folk die every year? Do you know people die from mosquito bites and viruses in mosquito bites, but somehow you're still here, you're still breathing, you're still living? You are important. Have enough vision to receive. Have enough vision to see yourself in it. I don't know what you want, because I don't know your mind, but start seeing yourself in what you want. It could be a car. Start looking in your car, and start looking in your car like it's the car you want it to be. Even though it's not what you want it to be, have enough vision to believe it is what you want to be. I used to tell folks a long time ago, before GPS came out, I say put a compass on your dashboard and act like you got GPS and just believe where you are. Have vision for where you are. Do whatever you gotta do. Sometimes go to the store and try on stuff and have somebody take a picture of you. You can't afford the clothes, take the clothes off, put them back on the rack, and go home with the picture in your phone and look at the picture and say, I'll be there someday. May not be there today, may not be tomorrow, but someday I'm gonna be it. You need to get out of your neighborhood and drive to somebody else's neighborhood and drive around so slow that they call the police on you, wondering what you're doing. But you're just going through saying, I can have that one. I can have that one. I can have that one. I see myself walking in that one. I'm going to see myself. I have enough vision to receive. Don't be bold enough to ask and then not have enough vision to receive. All right, let's keep on going. 2 Kings 2:11. And as they still went on and Paul, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Everybody knew Elijah was going to die, but no one knew how it was going to happen. And here, in a dramatic way, and here Elisha is seeing everything. And God comes in chariots of fire and snatches up Elijah. And here Elisha is left. Let's look at verse 12. And Elisha saw it. And Elisha saw it. And Elisha saw it. He had enough vision to see in the spirit and see it. And he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. He had enough vision to see it. And then he saw it no more. He saw it. And then he saw it no more. See, some of y'all are in a space in your life where you've seen things and now you don't see them anymore. And you think God has left you. It's not that. It's that once you stop seeing, it's time to start acting. Because he showed it to you, but once it's no longer being shown to you, that means it's time for you to put some feet to the fire and get to moving. Let me read the rest of verse 12. And then I'll give us 12, 13, and I'll give us the point. I'll read it over again. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and his horsemen. And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He started tearing off the old stuff. Let's look at verse 13. And he took up the cloak or the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Let's look at verse point number 9. Courage to move ahead. He had the courage and the boldness to ask. He had the vision to see and receive, but then the vision was no more. And what he did, he tore off that old stuff. Some of y'all need to tear out some of that old junk, that old thinking, those old relationships, those old mindsets, those old traditions. Tear it off. But the cloak was still there. Now, Elijah was gone, but his cloak or his mantle was left behind, or his anointing was left behind. And guess what Elisha did not do? He didn't walk away from it. He grabbed and picked it up, and he went back to the Jordan River. Now, remember, they crossed over the Jordan River, but he went back the way that he came. Let's look at verse 14. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" I like this because he's not saying, "I got enough anointing to do it on my own." He said, "I want the same one who touched my mentor touch me. The same guy who touches my pastor touch me." So he said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Israel?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. The very thing he seen Elijah do, he turned around, did the very same thing. Sometimes God shows it to you so you know it's possible and that it can be done. You can do some of the same stuff that I'm doing. All you got to do is believe it. I want to drive like my pastor drives. Listen to my stories. Listen to my testimony. I don't preach and holler for nothing. I'm trying to impart something in your life. And I want you to call on the God that's Andre, the God that's delivered me, the God that's washed me, the God that pulled me out of college, the God that got alcohol out of my system and pornography out of my life and gave me a wife and gave me a job and gave me a house and a car and a ministry. That same God, he works for you too. Call on his name and walk in the footsteps of the people that were before you. Let's look at verse 15. Now, when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, remember, it was Bethel, Jericho, then Jordan. The sons of the prophet, they stayed at Jericho. They looked, but they didn't go no further. But they were still there. Here's the thing. When God anoints you, sometimes the people who were talking to you was going to be in the same place they always be. That's why you can't run and do what they do, because they're going to be stuck in the same place. And so they were there at Jericho, saw him opposite them. They said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Let's put up point 10. Others recognized the mantle of Elisha. Did not have to tell anybody that he had a double portion of Elijah. All he had to do was show up, and the people who was telling him all this stuff and all in his ear, the folk he had to tell quiet, they to be quiet, guess what? They came back and bowed. Now, here's the thing. We're not going to try to get sedity. We're not going to judge people, but I promise you, the folk talking about you now, they'll come back and ask you to pray for them. I've lived it my own life. People who laughed at me and told me I was too radical, it don't take all that, it don't mean all that, you and Devin don't belong together, them people love my dirty socks right now because they see God's anointing on my life. Don't let anybody talk you out of anything. Hold on to what God has, and guess what? Let somebody else announce the anointing on your life. Don't get on Facebook and tell everybody, "I'm anointed, you better listen to me." No, let somebody else tell it. Let somebody else sing your praise. But when you got a double portion, guess what? You ain't got to ask anybody who you are. They'll know it. They'll talk about it. They'll say it before you even get there. They'll talk about who you are before you even open your mouth. I remember last year around this December, I think it was our Thanksgiving meal at work. We had a brand new boss. I don't know nothing about the boss. Brand new boss. He comes in and we invited him to our little thing because we were just being nice. And when we get there, he says, "I got something to say." And so we thought he's a new boss. He's going to say something.
He said, I think we should have Andre pray over the food. I'm like, I don't know you. I don't know who you are, where you come from, but the word has already got out about me that wherever you go, there's a pastor there. His name is Andre, and he's got something special about him. And so the first words he says is, let's let him pray. I don't even know who you are, but he know who I am. And after I got done praying over the food, he pulled me to the side. He said, oh, by the way, this is who I am. I'm the boss, blah, blah, blah. He said, will you be praying for me? I got this, that going on in my life. I don't know you, but he knows me because my anointing precedes me. And you can ask Brother Will, he sees me on my job. I don't try to be all super spiritual on my job. I'm tired on my job. I'm just trying to go there, do my job, and get off and clock out. But my anointing precedes who I am. And guess what? Your anointing precedes you. If you wear it well and you carry it right, guess what? Somebody will recognize the power of God on your life. I don't care who counted you out. I don't care who talked about you. I don't care who lied on you. Somebody will recognize there's something special about him or her. And especially if you start changing before their eyes. They'll eventually say it. They may talk about you for a while, but eventually they'll say, I didn't think it was real, but you're different. I can see the change in your life. It's beautiful when family members start telling you, I see something different about you. It's because God's working on you, and that anointing and that mantle is resting on you. A few more verses and then we'll be done. 2 Kings 2 and 16 says this. And they said to him, behold, now there are with your servants 50 strong men. Please let them go and seek your master. First of all, they said, now we are your servants, Elisha. Now, because we recognize the anointing on your life. But then they added this. They said, please let them go and seek your master. It may be that the Spirit of the Lord has caught him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, you shall not sin. No, don't do that. I saw him. He was caught up into heaven. No, he didn't just get caught up in the air. He's going to be on some mountain somewhere. No, I had a vision. I saw him. No, y'all need to do that because I know what I saw. Let's look at the next verse. And this is very important for us to understand. But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, sin. They sent therefore 50 men, and for 3 days they sought him, but did not find him. Let's go to point number 11. When you're first walking in your anointing, this is what you have to understand. Others will try to talk you out of what you know. The Bible says that, now Elisha saw it in the vision. He saw it. But once he got around them regular folk and they started talking, yes, they bowed themselves to him and humbled themselves to him and joined themselves to him, but they just kept on bugging him. And it says it ashamed him. People will talk you out of what you know you know if you listen to them long enough. I know I'm supposed to be this. I remember I had some person who was a really, really good person, but they was trying to talk me out of something that I know. I was talking about the miscarriages that me and my wife had been through. And I was like, I just know God's going to make me a father. And they pulled me aside and they was just like, maybe you need to be a foster parent. Yeah, maybe I do need to be a foster parent. But that ain't what God showed me. God showed me that I'm going to be a daddy. Like my wife, her womb is going to open up. Yes, it wasn't working then, but that's what I saw. But for a couple of days, I started listening to what the person said. Well, maybe. And then God jumped me out of that. Listen, they're just trying to be nice and kind. See, they don't have the faith that you have, so they're trying to say something. Because this is what happens. When you walk in faith, people feel awkward around you, so they try to say stuff, and they say it's God. Well, God told me to tell you that you're probably not going to be married, so just sleep around, and God will forgive you. No, God didn't tell you that. No, I'm not listening to all that. I'm not going to let you talk me out of what I already know. First thing, Elisha said, no, don't go. That ain't what happened. And then he got ashamed. Okay, just go ahead. But for 3 days, they didn't find anything. Now let's look at verse 18. This is where where we're closing from. 2 Kings 2:18. And they came back to him while he was staying at Jericho. And he said to them, did I not say to you, do not go?
I tell you, you wasn't going to find nothing. I know what I saw, but I let y'all talk me out of it for a second.
But see, as they were going and doing what they were doing, see, God was talking to him. See, here's the thing. When you get people out of your ear, God can get back in your ear. And then you get your boldness back. And when they came back, he said, I told you the first time, it ain't what you said it was. It's like what I said it was, because I know what God showed me. I know the mantle I carry. I know the anointing I have. I know the dream I saw. I know God showed me all my kids being saved. I know I got kids in jail, but God told me all of them is going to be saved. I'm not believing what you say. I'm believing what God has said. That brings me to my last and final point. Don't be afraid to remind others that you know what you're doing. Once you have gone through all you've gone through, and sometimes you get the boldness that you get through and you've been ashamed, and you get to a place where I'm not letting anybody move me off my screen. And when people come and challenge you, you can be nice, you can be kind, you can be sweet, but it comes a time to let folk know, I know what I'm doing. I know what God has called me to do. I know what God has spoken in my life. I know what God has said. I know what I'm doing. Either get on the team, get on the bandwagon, either roll with me or stay on the sidelines. But I'm not backing up. I'm not coming back to get you. I'm not backsliding for you. I'm going with what God has for me. I got the mantle of love. I got a double portion of anointing. And I know what I'm doing. Why? Because my hand is in the hand of the master. I got to close, but I'll say it like this. I've said it many times before, but I'll say it one more time. I'll use the water bottle as my example. If I take a basketball and put it in my hands, it's just a basketball. But if I put it in an NBA superstar's hand, it's a $1 million making basketball. If I take a golf club and put it in my hands, it's just a golf club. And I got some golf clubs in my garage, and they just golf clubs. But if you take it to a PGA superstar, it's $1 million making golf clubs. If I take a tennis racket and put it in my hands, it's just a tennis racket. But if you put it in Serena or Venus Williams' hands, it is a $1 million making tennis racket. It's not about what it is. It's about who's got their hands on it. And if the right person have their hands on it, it can turn anything around. My hand is in the hand of the master, and his hand is on my life. And I may look like just Andre, but I'm not just Andre. His hand is on my life. And you're not just Deliverance Temple. His hand is on your life. Look out, devil. Look out, COVID. Look out what I can become. God's hand is on our lives. Come on, somebody. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. We can go ahead and stand as we pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, as we begin to see mantles on the earth where people are crossed into heaven, but they've left anointings here, God, it's time for us to grab those mantles up and pull them on and move like never before. God, the civil rights movement is coming back around again, and we got things we got to fight for. And many people have gone on and passed on, but God, that anointing is still there. We pick it up and we march on for victory. We march on for unity. We march on for the things of God. God, the Pauls, the Davids, the kings of the old times, the Jeremiahs, the Isaiahs, they're not coming back, but you've left it entrusted in our hands. And God, we pick up these mantles and we plan to do the will of God. God, let Deliverance Temple be everything you've called for it to be, both now and forever. Glory and dominion, power and majesty be ours because your hand is on our life. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And let everybody say, amen, amen, and amen.
Thank you.